This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, a Joy 94.9 podcast. This podcast was made possible with support from the Community Broadcasting Foundation. To support the production of content like this, donate at cbf.com.au.
An expert review of Victoria's IVF laws has come back with some major recommendations for some very substantial changes. Health Minister Jenny Mikaikos said the government would consider all recommendations, but immediately committed to improving affordability by setting up public IVF services and removing discrimination against LGBTI families. The expert panel, led by Alfred Hospital Chair Michael Gorton, has also urged the state to make it easier for people to access gametes or embryos. Here's Christina Antoniades from KHQ Lawyers to help break down what this might mean.
I think probably the biggest change or the biggest recommendation that needs to be implemented is same-sex couples' access to the same donor. So at the moment in Victoria, there's a 10 family limit to who a donor can provide donations to. So for example, if you've got 10 heterosexual couples, they can have as many kids in each couple as they like, but they're limited to 10 families, okay? Mm. The problem is with same-sex couples, we're not treated as a family under that legislation. So when a same-sex couple goes to an IVF clinic, and not a lot of people know about this, but when they go to an IVF clinic, they actually have to secure the donated sperm under both women's names if they both want to have a family. The problem with that is, bear the child, I should say. Problem with that is that they're counted as two separate families, the women. So there's not always a guarantee that you're going to get the same sperm for the second sibling because the other parent's carrying. So that's probably the biggest thing. So what we always advise women who are going to IVF clinics is we say to them, make sure you get a couple of vials for one mum and a couple of vials for the other mother, and make sure that they are both secured so that in the future, if you want to have another child, you've got the same donor. So that's the first thing. So they're paying double. So same-sex couples at the moment are paying double donor fees for the same sperm, even though they're in a family. So that's the biggest one. Then we move on to the fact that so it's very common in lesbian relationships for one partner's eggs to be used and fertilised, and then the other party carries, so her partner carries. The problem with that is that the law as it currently stands doesn't recognise the mum who has the eggs taken out as the mother, because under the law, what the law says is that basically anyone who provides genetic material, whether it be eggs or sperm, they're not a parent if you're in a relationship, okay? So there, it's kind of this weird circular 360-degree transaction that happens. So we get the eggs from mum A. It goes, it gets fertilised, it goes into mum B. Mum B is considered the mother, even though she's not genetically related to the child. And because mum B is in a relationship with mum A, who provided the genetic material, she is the other parent.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, so it works out in the end because they're in a relationship.
Yes, it does.
But what she's essentially doing, yeah, they're saying you're not a parent because we're taking your genetic material, but then you are a parent by virtue of the fact you're in a relationship with a woman that's conceiving a child.
Right.
So it's kind of this, it's just messy. And it's also more expensive. Fertility issue that warrants IVF. There's actually two forms of treatment. So one is if you're deemed to be infertile, you get a Medicare rebate. But lesbians are deemed to be, if they've got no fertility issues, they're called socially infertile. And what that means is they're, you know, they're choosing to have IVF because there is another way that they could have a baby. So they don't get access to Medicare rebates and things like that. And generally speaking, IVF doctors these days are really good. And, you know, if you get a good doctor, they'll just say, oh, yeah, medically infertile, have the Medicare rebates. But there are other doctors that are very, you know, stick to the guidelines and say, no, you're not medically infertile, you're socially infertile, so you're 17, 18 grand out of pocket for it.
Wow.
And
is that something this review is going to change?
Sorry?
Is that something that this review is potentially going to change, or is that one of the recommendations?
Yeah, it is looking at that as well. Right. So there's been a recommendation. What they've said is they want to reduce the hurdles of making IVF easier and more affordable. So what that means in reality, I don't know. But the other discrimination in that area is that you'll see there's a lot of clinics that advertise $400 IVF. Yep, come to us, we can do it all for $400, and I don't know how they do it, but they somehow get rebates and things. Mm-hmm. Those clinics do not deal with donor sperm. They only deal with heterosexual couples. Right. So there's none of those bulk billing services that are available.
That was Christina Antoniades from KHQ Lawyers.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.